This is the July 8th edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists for the day include Aaron Curtis from Midco.com Commodities out of Bloomington, Illinois. Cheyenne Dunham is here from Northern Country Cooperative in Stacyville, Iowa. And Logan Kimmel joins us from Roach Ag Marketing out of Naperville, Illinois as well. And Mike Suslow is here from GlobalComResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. You may find and listen to the whole of the program anytime you'd like at willag.org, willag.org. Cheyenne Dunham, thank you for joining us again, your second time on our show. And Logan Kimmel, this is your first time on Commodity Week. Most folks will recognize your last name because we have been talking with your father, Kurt, for quite some time. Again, you're in Naperville, Illinois, but can you tell me a little bit about yourself and your job, please?
Yeah, no, I appreciate you giving me the opportunity and having me on. I work for Roach Ag Marketing. Been with Roach for a little over 4.5 years. Started out down with John Roach in his home office, corporate headquarters down there in sunny Boca Raton, Florida. But a couple years ago, I actually moved back home to Illinois and now out of our Naperville office just outside of Chicago. So working with row crop producers and livestock producers on hedging and cash marketing.
Cheyenne Dunham, I'll bring you into the conversation now because I'm very interested to know what you have been talking with producers about in Iowa. And if you can give us the lay of the land of what the cooperative covers and what producers in that area are talking to you about. And then, of course, you live and work out of a different area of the state and have a different view from there as well, please.
Yeah, so we've got 12 locations, and we kind of cover that Alden, Austin, Minnesota area. And then, like you said, we're in Stacyville up in the northeast area of Iowa. And then I work in central Iowa in Greene County, so I get to see quite a bit of country between here and there. You know, around here, we're finally seeing a little bit of rainfall that we've really needed, and actually crops are looking pretty good, better than they were, you know, 10 days ago. I think guys were nervous as far as, you know, covering their new crop contracts that they had and everything, you know, what their yields were going to be. But I think we're all feeling a little bit better about that. And of course, just in time for these markets to kind of take a break here. So really just going over marketing programs that we can utilize come harvest and, you know, just how things are looking in the field and how much rain we're getting is a pretty big topic of conversation.
Yeah, so that Albert Lea, Austin, Minnesota kind of area, which is primary draw for the elevator system. I don't know how far south you go, maybe down, I don't know, probably not as far as Mason City. But are there dry pockets there, and are farmers still worried?
You know, it can really vary between, just to give you an idea, I kind of went back and looked like since June 1st, and our Austin location's gotten about 3.5 inches of rain in that, you know, 30-day window. And then Stacyville, so a little bit north of Mason City there, is actually sitting closer to 7 inches. So it really kind of depends which part you're at. But even talking to the guys around Austin in that area, even though they haven't seen as much rain, you know, I think we're sitting so much better than we were a month ago at this point that people are still feeling, you know, pretty good about how their corn and soybeans are looking right now. But I mean, it's definitely still drier than it has been in previous years.
Let me, you said since June 1st they had gotten 3.5 inches of rain. You mean July 1st?
No, since June 1st, actually. No, since June 1st.
Since June 1st. So they said that they had gotten, yeah, almost an inch a week, which is fairly normal, and that's what the corn crop would need. So the crop ought to look pretty good across a large part of that area, I would think. And so have farmers been pretty aggressive marketers of new crop in the cooperative system in that case?
You know, we saw a lot of people set some stuff on pretty early in the year. I mean, you're talking like, you know, back in December, January, they were locking in larger sales than they have in previous years. And then as the markets kept going up, we really saw everyone tie back on that and be more content to sit and wait it out. And as we got into our planting and our growing season and everything, I think, you know, we were so dry. There was a lot of concern there about what they were going to yield. I think if we can see these markets kind of give a little bit of a bounce back, we'll probably see people go ahead and lock in that last balance of sales that they'd like to get in ahead of harvest time. So what they're going to price before that. But I mean, right now, a lot of people price stuff pretty early in the year and then have been content to just wait it out and see what was going to happen with our growing season up to this point.
So Aaron Curtis in Midco in Bloomington, Illinois, probably sounds like a familiar tune, I would think, to you, with people that have both $4 cash sales and $6 cash sales.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And Cheyenne's right. It's really quieted down here over the last couple of weeks. And of course, a limit down move on Tuesday has a way of keeping the phones awful quiet, and been a pretty quiet week overall. But, you know, across the elevator systems that we work with across the Corn Belt, right, we've been using kind of a 20 to 25% sold for new crop for both corn and soybeans, probably a little heavier beans maybe than corn on a percentage basis. But that seems to be about the average as far as what kind of sales. So the producer, at least based on what we've seen in the last couple of years, the producer's been fairly aggressive on pricing. Part of that has been kind of ran out of old crop to sell, so started pricing some new crop. And of course, these are pretty good prices, not only with the insurance guarantee there in February, but just you know, historically pretty good prices in general. So been pretty active, but it's definitely slowed down. You know, based partly on the fact that farmers seems to be pretty comfortable right now with where they're at, and this market kind of dipping has a way of quieting things down. But, you know, if we continue to stay maybe range bound here, I think if we get back closer to that $6 level in these corn, especially with some of the rains we received from Illinois and east, most of those crops, at least on the corn side, look pretty good. I think we'll see the farmer a little more engaged again, Todd.
Mike Zuzulo, in your area, have you been excessively wet?
I think it differs, Todd. There's certainly some holes that have gotten 10, 12 inches of rain, not unlike northern Illinois, you know, up in that Kankakee and west of Kankakee area and on south of that area. I'd say we're a lot like that area right now based upon the clients I work with in that area. But clients in northeastern Missouri are really suffering. You can't really see it based upon the crop conditions because in the corn especially, it's covered up. However, we have a lot of rolling hilly ground that really drains well, and I think we're still sitting at an above average crop. I think the biggest issue that I see this side of the Mississippi, other than something we're all looking at, the plains and the Dakotas and Iowa and southern Minnesota that Cheyenne was talking about, is probably that border central north Kansas, central south Nebraska, say around Marysville, Kansas, and just above the border into Nebraska. There's a pretty big chunk where an inch and a half of rain is pretty much all they've gotten most of the growing season, you know, the last 60, 70 days. So they're really starting to suffer. Dryland corn's really starting to go. And I think that's a hot spot that could drag down, probably, if it worsens any more than it already does, maybe could drag down the state yields in both the Nebraska and Kansas state yields, which for me, you need everything running on all eights to get 179.5 at this stage.
So, Logan Kimmel, tell me a little bit about the trade over the last 5 to 7 trading sessions and how you viewed that limit down move and those moves that the corn market in particular has made since then.
Yeah, it's today relatively quiet compared to the previous sessions this week. You know, working our way up to that $6 level, and then you got the holiday weekend and the big move down. And really with today's close, we're looking at kind of a sideways triangle pattern that we hit again today, held. And, you know, if you can bounce off this, you've got a gap to work on to the upside. And I think, as mentioned earlier, if we get your working your way up to that $6 level, there might be a little more interest in selling at the top of this range that really has been intact since the beginning of May when you put the high in, you came down to the $5 level on Deese corn, put a low in, ran back up again. So it's been back and forth and kind of consolidating, but bigger moves and a lot of money flow in this market to make that happen. And I think that we'll still have some opportunities as the rest of the year goes on.
Are there fundamentals you're looking forward to coming into the market that will add support? I'm thinking this morning that CONAB released a lower corn number again for its Brazilian crop, down at just under 94 million tons. USDA has there still at 98, and we have a WASDE next week. What kind of things, Logan, do you think could support the marketplace?
Yeah, the report this morning on South America's crop will be a big one. I don't know how much of the freeze last week is accounted for in that reduction. It could be more. We think it might be a little bit more of a reduction. But you're also at a crossroads here with the weather that's come through and projected to in the next week, plus our report on Monday. So, you know, it really could go both ways, but I think a smaller number from a carryout standpoint, or maybe lack of rains that don't materialize, could keep the channel we're in, this $5.20 to $5 level, possibly intact, and could get us working our way higher. But again, really at a critical time here with two big things: the weather, USDA, and yes, the South American crop size possibly even being reduced some more with that freeze.
On the flip side of this, Cheyenne, I don't know how much contact you've had into the northwestern part of Iowa, the southeast, southwestern part of Minnesota, and into the Dakotas, but that area, which seems to have been the driving force, feels like it's getting much smaller as a contingent in the marketplace to really play a role. How well are they doing? Have they gotten enough rain to bring a crop on in those places?
I mean, I think short answer there, you know, there will be a crop, but definitely still struggling over on that side. You know, we've been pretty fortunate here in the central strip of Iowa to be seeing some rains that a lot of them have missed over that way. So, I mean, you know, it'll come around and they'll get something, but I mean, probably are looking at some lower yields than they've seen in previous years, just with how the dry weather's been consistent this year.
Mike Suzlo, I like that description. There will still be a crop. I suppose if you live in that area, they would not like that description. But it does give you the difference between areas of the Corn Belt and the issues that Northwestern, and it's not that small an area of the Corn Belt, is still suffering through, I suppose.
No, I think you bring up a bigger point here, Todd. I think the grain supplies as a whole, I mean, look at spring wheat. I mean, we really do have probably a tragedy in the works here in the next 5 or 6 days from what I'm hearing. Canola is right behind that. You know, we have just a true 2012 spring wheat drought, you know, 2012 level of spring wheat drought, and the market just doesn't seem to care about it because they're focused on this commodity or that commodity. I think what the market's going to have to do at some point is take a step back, and maybe that's what Monday's report does, and says, what do we have for substitutes? Because yeah, we can substitute feed wheat for corn. We're seeing that in Asia right now because the conversion and the price is so friendly, and we're losing corn demand in Asia to feed wheat. But at some point, spring wheat's probably going to help the soft red. It's going to help the hard red. It's going to help the corn. And same with canola, with the soy complex. And it seemed like the trade was in sync with that type of mindset 3 weeks ago, but now it's not. And I really wonder whether that's all about weather or not.
On the WASDE next week, the $5.70 cash price, how much, if any, will USDA adjust that? Do you have an idea? I think Aaron Curtis, I'll start with you, but I would like to hear from everybody on this, because my opinion, and I rarely give this, is that price seemed and continues to seem really high. There was a point maybe where it didn't seem like that was the case, but it seemed to be an awfully good cash price. Aaron, will they adjust it?
I don't think we'll see much of an adjustment. If we have corn ending stocks, you know, the average guess is still expecting, you know, corn ending stocks both for this crop and next crop, next marketing year, to be adjusted lower once again. So I still think the USDA has to catch up a little bit on the demand side for old crop ending stocks. So if we continue to keep old crop ending stocks right above 1 billion bushels, I don't think the cash price changes a whole lot. you know, we're going to see a little bit of an acres increase. I don't think the USDA will adjust yield any, but I still think the ethanol number is a touch too low for old crop. We saw another good week here today on the ethanol weekly report that showed another strong week of corn usage for ethanol, and margins continue to be pretty good, at least in the nearby month here for ethanol margins. So I think that's a positive story. I think exports are close, and I think as long as we continue to see stocks to use ratios as tight as they are, I think that cash price holds right in there.
So you're a short crop, long tail situation.
That's right. Yep.
Mike?
I guess I think Aaron's right on the money as far as the mindset of USDA. I don't think we spent enough time at those higher levels like we did in 2007, 2008, and 2011, and 2012 to chop the corn exports, which is what we traditionally crop years like that. So I would be surprised if USDA lowered U.S. corn and soybean total demand in this report. But if they did, I think they would lower that average price. So that's something that I'll be looking at the next 3 or 4 months. I think the other thing goes back to is the spring wheat, the production number there, and how does the wheat react to that as a whole? Because we are getting closer and closer to wrapping up winter wheat, and that's been something that's held us back, I think, in the price action, waiting for more yield numbers. And those yield numbers, while they're fantastic in the soft red wheat, from what I'm hearing, the hard red wheat sounds like it's great, but it's not as great as they thought it would be. So I think this is where, again, after the report, I'd like to see the wheat join up with the corn again and find some support. If we take that July corn low out from mid-June of 629.5, that is a sell signal to me, a key sell signal, and especially given all the information we have at this point. So I won't hesitate to pull more triggers on buying puts for 21 corn hedges. Won't do any cash sales, but I'll really put hard the idea of getting some puts in place, because we don't know whether we've got another leg to the downside. Mr. Kimmel said, we've got a gap to the upside. We've also got a gap to the downside in the Dease corn, too.
I'll get to Logan and Cheyenne in just a moment for that 570 cash and what they think WASDE will show next week. But I do want to follow up with you on a couple of historical things with the spring wheat. You mentioned 2012. I want to say that the spring wheat, the big move in the spring wheat was not that year. It was earlier. I don't recall for sure. Is that the case? The one where we went well into the 20s, but there was a move in spring wheat. So I'm trying to put it kind of in historical context and what you think the highs might or should be in spring wheat.
Yeah, sure. No, you're absolutely right that the scope of the drought in spring wheat is like 2012 for corn. And that's what I was really trying to get at. But you're absolutely right. I don't know why we're not running maybe even $2 higher in spring wheat versus where we're at right now, Todd, to answer your question.
All right. And Logan Kimmel, the 570 cash price, will USDA adjust it?
I think it'll still stay fairly elevated in that range. What will help, we'll get a better picture again with the holiday and the delayed exports tomorrow. While exports have slowed recently, which is to be expected around this time of year, we're still slightly ahead of pace. And some of those might roll off the new crop, but I still think the demand side is strong. And in regards to the yield side of things as well, we think it's going to be tough to get up to that 179, 180 level with the damage out west that's been done in the beginning part of June to the middle part. So maybe if the futures price do stall out or sell off, I think basis in most areas should stay fairly strong in areas that are having issues up until this point in the year for their cash price.
And Cheyenne?
I'm probably not going to stray too far from the other opinions here. I mean, like someone had mentioned, you know, that the opportunity for those higher prices was pretty short-lived. And, you know, I just don't know that we've had a lot as far as, you know, what's going to happen with yield and everything determined to adjust that price point too. So I don't think we'll probably be seeing a big move off of that 570 mark there.
All right. So I spent a lot of time on this, and it's for a reason, actually. It's because that seems like a relatively high price potentially in the marketplace. You've all said we've not spent enough time above that. We certainly would need to stay above it to make up for some of the 4, 450, 425, $5, $5.25 cash prices certainly that have been already put on the books by producers, because this is the season's average cash price, which means you're all expecting a much higher price and a really good crop, or relatively speaking, a still really good crop. And those two things don't usually come together. So I need you all to explain why. Cheyenne Dunham, I'm going to put you on the spot and make you do it first.
I mean, I think the main thing is, like, talking about a lot of people locked in a pretty good chunk early at this point. And now, I mean, I think they're content to wait it out and just, see what happens here. So I think, their ethanol plants and everyone, our co-ops are sitting pretty good in our areas as far as inventories right now, but and we're also looking at potentially earlier harvest coming up too. So I mean, I think things like that are gonna kind of get the last little bit of that out too, and get people to let some more grain go at that point is gonna take that high price. And I think the other thing too is inputs and everything are kind of factoring in. I mean, people have been taking lower prices for a while now, and I think now they're finally given the opportunity and given a position to wait that out a little bit.
Logan Kimmel?
Yeah, our system, right now had given us an opportunity throughout the last 2 months to make some sales at higher prices. However, from a cash sales standpoint, a lot of producers didn't know at the time, or still might not be comfortable with their crop and getting enough forward sold. So with the Dakotas looking to remain hot and expected to return to above average temperatures next week, we think there'll be another opportunity possibly here, especially with the USDA report and time in this crop, that would give you another maybe peak. And again, around that $6 piece corn level to average in some more cash sales for those who need to get more on the books at a higher price and bring that average sale price up. With the time still left in the growing season.
Mike Zuzel?
I guess the risk management principles that I believe in, Todd, have a sense of discipline and humility to them. And we have to think about the idea that we could be doing this type of rally scenario all over again in August because of soybeans. And at the same time, we have several reasons. If the technicals don't hold, we have to wonder, why didn't they hold? And is it because the inflation bulls are questioning themselves? Is it because it seems like the U.S.-China relations are becoming more stressed, not less, with the new administration? Is it because the Federal Reserve policy is more up in the air? I guess what I'm trying to say here is that in 30 days, we may not care about what we're talking about right now because the drought's back on. But in 30 days, the funds can do a lot of damage to prices. And I think that's what really Tuesday taught us, that really nicely, with a dollar lower soybeans. Why did beans go a dollar lower when the crop conditions went down more than the trade was expecting? And why didn't we make that dollar right back up again? So I think there's more at play here in the short term, and you just don't fight it and you keep your discipline. And that's what the risk management principles are all about offsetting your risk and then living to fight another day and holding off on selling your cash bushels until you know a lot more or feel a lot more confident about your profit margins.
And Aaron Curtis of 570 Price, but a pretty good crop.
Pretty good crop. Obviously, a lot of weather to go. I know at least in central Illinois here where we're setting, right, if we get another couple rains here over the next 10 days, corn crop's going to be well on its way to a pretty good crop. But I still think its demand is what we got to continue to focus on. 14.765 is the number USDA is using for next year. You make a pretty strong argument that number is going to be a little low. Exports at 2.450 with what's going on in Brazil. I think that number is still a little bit too light. So we're talking about, probably within shouting distance of the second biggest demand profile we've ever had for corn. So I think that continues to keep pretty good support underneath this market in the short term. Question mark still on China. USDA still says 26 million metric tons of imports next year. Attaché in China thinks that's a little bit lower than that, more like a 20 million metric tons. But I still think on a worldwide standpoint, China is still going to be in the corn market here as we move forward next year. We know what the ethanol sector looks like. plenty of cattle and hogs that we're still feeding. So I think demand continues to support that price until you know, something happens, or Brazil, South America has a decent crop to kind of shift some of that business back away from the U.S. But I still think it's demand driven at this point, Todd, and that offers some pricing opportunities, I think, as we move into new crop.
Yeah, so demand driven, you don't expect basis to break then either?
I don't think basis breaks a whole lot. Now, we've seen basis, at least old crop, weaken up here a little bit, and that's more the function of the inverse. When we got the July SEP inverse out to almost $1.40, right, that told everybody, just why are you hanging on to corn? So, you know, obviously the market was rewarded at that point, and that's really weakened up basis in some spots, especially out west. But there's still some need for some demand here as we move to new crop. And I think as long as the export profile stays pretty strong, both on corn and soybeans here as we move into new crop, that's going to continue to see, keep some support under basis. I will tell you, you know, from an inverted standpoint, the way the market's inverted, we should be pretty empty, right, as a system here as we move into new crop. So at least going into new crop, that should probably, that should continue to support basis here as we move forward. And then obviously we've already got a pretty strong book on China on some corn, a good start. And we're starting to see in the last 30 days, right, that China's really starting to perk their head up for some soybeans. So we continue to think that China's going to stick around. And as long as that export market stays fairly strong, that'll should keep a lid under, excuse me, should keep some support under domestic basis as well.
Time to get a final word from each of you. I think Mike Zuzlow at GlobalComResearch.com in Atchison, Kansas. I'll start with you today.
Just wrap up on the 618, June 18th weekly lows. That's also the monthly lows in the lead month corn. July is still a dollar over September. If we break the technical trend lines, Todd, then that would indicate that the July is heading towards September. If we don't break that trend line, then I think what Aaron's talking about plays out in the market and plays out in the spread. So lead month corn is exceptionally important to me right now in the next 2 weeks.
Logan Kimpel from Roach Ag Marketing in Naperville, Illinois. Your final word?
Yeah, if anything on this dip here this week, I think it's a possible opportunity for some end users or anybody who needs to re-own. We're at the bottom end of our channel here. And if the weather turns and the USDA report is friendly here next week, you could work your way back up to the upper end of this sideways pattern we've been in since the beginning part of May, carried through June here.
Cheyenne Dunham from Northern Country Cooperative, which is headquartered there in Stacyville, Iowa.
I think it's just a good time for producers to look around and, you know, see what they've got for their sales so far for their new crop, whether it's 20 or 25%, and see what they want to have sold. And, you know, if we get a rally back in this market, it's a good time to be ready to lock some more in and, you know, kind of be looking ahead and getting ready for that harvest window, because chances are pretty good, you know, again, there's going to be some crop there. It's probably not all going to fit in the bins, and make sure you have a plan for what's going to be coming in the fall.
And finally, Aaron Curtis from Midco in Bloomington.
Well, Todd, liquidity is pretty poor in these markets today. And I would just say that just tells you to be pretty cautious, right, just on anything you're trying to do in the markets. And today we had an 18-cent range in D's corn, and we thought that was a disappointing day today, right? So just kind of tells you what we've been up against. But I think D's corn's a $5 to $6 range here in the short term. So I think, you know, if we get back to the higher end of that range, I'd probably look at where you're at in risk management and probably award that with a few more cash sales, especially if your crop's looking pretty decent.
Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. You may find and listen to the whole of the program anytime you'd like. You can do that at willag.org. Again, our thanks go to our panelists this week, including Aaron Curtis, Cheyenne Dunham, Logan Kimmel, and Mike Zuzlow. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.